fasting, I just, so many things just go in my mind because of so many things that I've seen when people start to fast. So why don't we just pray first? Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this house, Father God. We thank you for what you're doing in our life, Father God. Father, we just ask you to revive every dreams that you've put in us, Father God, that is dead right now. We just ask you to breathe life to that, Father God. And as we learn more about your word, about the truth about your word, Father God, I know there will be many dreams that you've put in us, Father God, that is going to come back to life. As we're going to learn about some of the keys and some of the principles that you lived out for us, Father God, that we will hang on to that and we'll adopt it and make it a lifestyle, Father God. So, Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to just come and breathe life in each one of us right now. Breathe life to those dreams that are dead in Jesus' name. And, Father, I pray that every word that I'm going to say, Father God, that you're going to customize it for each person, that they will be able to understand what you are saying to them, Father God. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you to come in this place. And I know you are so good at restoration. So we just ask you to come and restore in Jesus' name. Amen. So I believe that as I'm going to speak, God, this is my prayer, that God is going to customize it so that you will be able to understand what God is saying to you. So what is fasting? Fasting is really to abstain from food or certain specific items. And you know what? There are so many hidden truths about this concept of fasting. I know when I talk about, you know what, we're going to talk about the favor of God, and everybody was like, hallelujah, we're all about the favor. Yes, you know, God is going to bless you. You're coming in and you're going out. Whatever you touch is going to be blessed, and we'll all pump up and everything. You know what? Fasting is so, the benefit of fasting is just like the favor of God coming into your life. Once we tap into that, we will realize that every time that people talk about fasting, it will be like, that is amazing, yes, because you know what? I've done it and I know how it feels. The problem is that we have heard about it, many of us, but not many of us have really experienced the power of fasting. So when we talk about fasting, it's like, what are you talking to me about? It's like, I like food. Okay, now you're telling me not to eat food. What is that? It's like, there's more to that, really. There's more. I like food too. Some of us like it more. Some of us like it less. I like it a lot, right? So it's like, when we talk about fasting, it's like, what is that? God, I really like to eat. But you know what? There's so much benefit when it comes to fasting. So we're going to talk about that. You will see for yourself when you start, like God is going to start prompting you to do things that you don't usually do. And you will start seeing things that you don't usually see happen. And you will see it happen in your life. And you will realize, you know what? That is for me. How come that a lot of us Christians, we've heard so much about other stuff, but we haven't heard about that. So this is a great principle. This is a great blessing that we should take in our heart and say, God, this is a treasure that I'm going to keep. So, you know, I want you to turn your Bible to Matthew 6, verse 5. And here Jesus, he said, you know what? And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love praying, standing in the synagogue and on the corner of the street, so that they may be seen by men. I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. So God, Jesus is talking about when you pray, don't be like the hypocrite, that, you know, talking big and stuff like that. Just, he's looking at our heart, really. That's what he's looking at. It's like, you know, some of us, when we become a Christian, we listen to those who are praying, you're like, oh my goodness, I don't even know how they can pray that long, and they have all these words. And as a new Christian, you haven't been among Christians for a long time. You don't have all those proper words, you know what I mean? But you know what? God is, he doesn't care about that, really. He look at our heart. Even if you say, oh, Jesus, you know, I don't really know how to pray. But, and he loves it. It's like if you have a little child come to you and he just say a few words, you just love it because you know why? It's a little child and she's trying to say a few words. That's how it is with God. So Jesus is saying, when you pray, don't do that. So if we go to Matthew 6, verse 16, Jesus is saying, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. So Jesus is talking to the disciple about when you pray, don't do this, do that. And then he said, when you fast. So really, praying and fasting to him is one of the principles that as Christian, he expects us to do. If I go to any Christian and I say, are you a Christian? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Do you pray? Oh yeah, I pray. I pray all the time. And you go to the same Christian and then you say, are you a Christian? Oh yeah, do you fast? Not always, like, you know, maybe once every 10 years. But here we see Jesus talking about prayer and fasting as if like he's like, you know what? He's taking it for granted that we're all fasting. And it's like, when you pray, do that. When you fast, do that. But what happened is that we haven't really taught on fasting as much as we have taught on prayer. So that's why a lot of us don't know about the benefits of fasting. We know that when you pray, you believe. I'm telling you, things are going to happen. But we've never been taught about when you fast. I'm telling you, something is going to break loose. Something is going to happen. So Jesus is like, you know what? Prayer and fasting is really important. I expect you to fast. I expect you to pray. And this is one of the things that he's talking about. So as Christian, I would encourage you that if this is not part of your lifestyle, start asking God. Don't be super spiritual that you have to fast for 40 days and you're not careful and you drop dead. Because you know what? You have to be careful. You have to listen to God. You might be fasting once a week and God is honoring that. And you might be fasting for 40 days and he's like, what are you doing? Just please go to your neighbor and tell them, you know what? I do forgive you. He's not looking at the length of your fast. He's looking at the obedience of your heart. Because then what is going to happen? We go back to Matthew 6. He says, when you fast, don't be like a hypocrite. I fast for 40 days. Hallelujah. You know what I do. It's like, hello, it's not about that. It's like, listen to the word of God and say and listen to what God is saying. And if God says, you know what, I would like you to fast and don't have breakfast every morning. And this time is about, you know, and some of us, because of what we do, we can't really fast a lot in terms of the physical body. We need to carry heavy stuff. But you know what, there are different kind of fast that we can do. So we're going to talk about that. And you know what? By the way, going to the doctor is not a bad thing. How many know going to the doctor is not a lack of faith? If you turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 31, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do have it. So that's in the Bible. So if you are sick and you feel like you know you need to go to a doctor, don't feel like you're not a Christian, okay? And sometimes God do say, don't go to the doctor because I'm going to heal you right now. So we need to have the wisdom to be able to understand that. So we have different kind of fast. One kind of fast, we call it the normal fast. And that kind of fast is like you don't eat food, but you drink water. And Jesus did that for 40 days. He didn't eat, but he had water. So after the 40 days, the Bible says he was hungry. And then we have another kind of fast, which is an absolute fast. And that one is like you have no food and no drink. Medically speaking, our body can't go more than 3 days without water. I mean, we'll die. This is highway to heaven. You'll die, okay? So really, but I do know people who haven't eaten and drank for more than 3 days. But this is because God has really talked to them and said, you know what, I would like you to do that and I will help you to do that. But please don't do that if it's not God and it's you, because this is for sure. You don't have to have faith. You will die, you know. So it's like, this is this kind of fast. This is a partial fast and this is an absolute fast. It is for 3 days, no food, no water. And we will see in the Old Testament where you see Esther did that for 3 days, and not only her, but also the people under her. When she was a queen, she asked the people not to eat for 3 days and 3 nights. And also Paul did that as well. When he was hit in Damascus, he didn't eat for 3 days and 3 nights, and then he got recovered and stuff like that. And we have another kind of fast, which is a partial fast. And this is you don't eat certain kind of food. And if you look in the Bible, we will see that with Daniel, there are certain kind of food that he wouldn't take, like he wouldn't take meat or wine and stuff like that. So this is called a partial fast. And he did that for 21 days. And some of us, you know, God will ask us not to eat certain kind of food. And this is called a partial fast. And some of us, we also abstain from, partial fast can also be abstaining from TV. If we're so addicted to TV, we just can't stop watching TV. And God is like, you know what, I would like you to abstain from TV for a certain period. And you know what, during that time, I want you to spend time with me. Or abstain from sweet. Or abstain from gossip or whatever, you know, whatever is not, which is choking our life, which is stealing from us. So God sometimes asks us to do that. And even some of the great men of God, actually all the great men of God, if you read about them, all of them have a lifestyle of fasting. All of them. Charles Finney, you know, Amy McPherson, and all John Wesley. John Wesley, actually, he only had bread and water. So all of them have a lifestyle of fasting. And when they go and they start doing the things that they need to do, you see amazing result. And you know what? Who are the people who fast? All religion fast. I happen I was born in Mauritius, so I happen to know a little bit of the culture of the Indian culture, the black culture, the Chinese, and the Muslim. But what happened is that all of them fast. Some of the Indian people, their fast is like no water, no food, more than 3 days. I'm telling you, when they start doing their trance, they light up the fire, they walk on glass. This is demonic. They walk on glass, nothing happened to them. But then when they touch you, something gets imparted into you. What happened, a lot of tourists, they come to Mauritius because Mauritius is a very, people go there, it's a lot of beaches and stuff like that. Tourists doesn't know. They thought it's fun. They will go and they take picture and they come close. I'm thinking, what are you doing, woman? That's why a lot of time when people go on holiday, they don't really know what they're doing and they are getting things that they're not supposed to receive, and they receive that. They think it's fun. It's no fun. This is demonic things that's happening. And they do that. So these people do know the power of fasting. But what are they hitting? That's something else. They're not hitting God. They're hitting something else. So there's power in fasting. Like the Muslim, they have a kind of fast where they take a milk and they will hide it. And you have to understand that Mauritius is very warm. A milk which is not in the fridge for more than an hour turn bad. This milk will not turn bad after so many days. And after they finish fasting, they will drink the milk. And some people get healed. Some people, they get strange things happen to them. But this is the power of fasting. And us Christians, we're just letting that go in front of our own eyes. And you know what? I believe God is bringing back what belonged to us. There's always a counterfeit. But God is bringing that back to us. You know what? I'm so happy that our church did it last year and we're doing it again this year. There's power in corporate fasting and prayer. This is not just a little thing for me to lose weight, you know? Fasting without prayer is not fasting. Fasting go hand in hand with prayer. But pray to who? That's something else too, because other religions also pray. Some of them pray more than us Christian. But who are we praying to? That's something else. Who are we hitting to? That's something else. And I really encourage you, as we finish and talk about that, ask God, what are the things that he wants you to do? Because I do believe that God wants to start breathing back dreams that he has put into your heart. And I will tell you why some of our dreams are not coming into pass. So if we turn our Bible to Isaiah 58, verse 6. When we talk on fasting, this is a beautiful passage when it comes to fasting. It doesn't really talk about not eating, but really what it talks about is about to lose the bond of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. It is not to share your bread. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. You know, I believe when we start fasting, these are the things that we are going to be seeing. He wants us to start seeing us losing the bond of wickedness. What are some of the bond of wickedness in our life? Selfishness. You don't have to teach a two-year-old child. You take two candy here. One is a big and nice, and the other one is very slim and tender. The little one will like that one, the big one. You don't have to teach a two-year-old to choose the big fat candy. They just love it, right? So selfishness, pride. And pride is terrible. And we don't really see it coming. Like, you know, when pride comes, it's like it goes hand in hand with the spirit of deception. It will not say, I am pride, I'm coming. Can you see that in your life? You won't see that. Especially sometimes when we are Christian and we want to be godly, we want to be spiritual, this pride will creep in and you will not even know that it's coming. And you know what the Bible says about pride, eh? After the pride comes the fall. And the Lord wants us to humble ourselves. So one of the things that fasting does is that we lose the bonds of wickedness in our life. As we humble ourselves, the Bible says if we humble ourselves, He will lift us up. Sometimes we don't humble ourselves enough. We don't understand the boundaries that God has for us. I love David. He's such a crazy man, but he loved God with passion. I mean, you see David? Like when God said, David, you are not about to build my temple. I was sharing that with the girls in the cell group the other day. You are not about to build the temple. You've got to understand the character of David. David is like, you know what? He's a warrior. He will go and he will kill and he will make sure that the mission is accomplished. He liked that. That is his kind of personality. And you ask somebody like David that you are not about to build the temple. That's a big thing for him. This is like, oh, really? Me? I can't build the temple? You think I can't build the temple? But God knows what's best for us. God said, I don't want you to build the temple because you've got too much blood in your hand. And you know what? David could have said, okay, I will still do it. Because sometimes when we have to be very careful about our ability to do things. We are very independent. Oh, I'm able to do it. Who can tell me not to do it? When God is for me, who can be against me? I don't know which God, but when God is for me, who can be against me? Obviously, it's not the God who is telling us to do that. So David knows that. He understands that. So when God said, don't build the temple, do you know what he did? He helped Solomon to gather all the things that is needed. Sometimes some of us, God has called us and he has put boundaries, not to restrict us, but to protect us. But we're like, no, God, you've called me to be the head, but the head of what he has called us to be. But sometimes we don't understand that. I don't understand that. And I step out of that boundaries and I get burned. I'm like, God, why am I doing that? God is like, I've never called you to do that. I've called you to gather only. And then I will ask Solomon to build the temple. But when we start, you see pride just creep in so quickly because we feel we are able to do it and somebody's stopping me from doing it. Somebody is putting restriction. But God knows why he's doing that. And in my life, as I start fasting, I see that, you know, those little pride that try to come in, it just exposes itself right in my face. And I'm thinking, oh, I thought it was a good thing. But obviously, it's not a good thing. You know, then what happened? You reassess the things that's going on in your life. We all go through that. All of us. And when we fast, We humble ourselves before the Lord. We say, Lord, I am weak, but you are strong. And when we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will lift us up in the right moment. Amen. So it loses the bond of wickedness. Jealousy. This is another wickedness in our life. Jealousy go hand in hand with the spirit of poverty. Because jealousy goes like that. Oh, you've got a building. I want a building. So when am I going to get the building? And you know what? I was thinking, when are we going to get the building for Catch the Fire Ajax? And the Lord said, you know what? Honestly, if I can give it to her, I can give it to her, and I can give it to you too. Jealousy will say, what about me? If you give this to her, then there's nothing for me. How many know that God is big? He can answer your prayer, my prayer, his prayer, their prayer, and everybody's prayer, because he's God. And he has many ways of doing that. He is so multi-talented. He has so many ways of doing things. We just think, God, you have to do it this way. God said, no, I choose to do it the other way. This is God. God said, when I lay hand on you, you will be healed. And then the other one, he said, you know what? Take some mud, put it on your eyes, and you will be healed. We're thinking, what? Put the mud, he will be even blinder, you know? Even worse. He said, no, I'm telling you, put it on your eyes, you will be healed. So God has so many ways of doing it, and we don't. And we're like, God, no, you said this is the building for us, and I claim it. It's like God said, no, please relax. And I have a plan for you, you know. So I believe, as I'm saying that, we can all see that in our life. I say to God, like, you know, it's like sometimes I will tell God as if he doesn't know what he has written. And God is like, Alexandra, relax. I know what I wrote. I'm going to bless you. Don't worry. Just relax and enjoy my presence. And we need to learn to be able to do that. And when we fast, it almost kind of bring you back into perspective. You see, like, it loose the bond of the wickedness. It undo the heavy burden. Like, the hidden areas of our life will just, like, come out. And you're like, oh, I didn't know that was in me, you know. So, and then also undo the heavy burden. Another chapter that I love is Esther. I mean, we all love Esther. She's a beautiful queen, and she has a lot of wisdom. And sometime in our life, Esther said, you know what? Oh my goodness, my people are going to perish. All of them are going to perish. We need to do something. And if you read the book of Esther, that guy, Haman, he's got quite some wickedness in him, you know? He's like planning how they're going to kill Esther's uncle. You know what? Let me tell you something. Fasting, when people plan to kill you, when people plan wickedness upon you, you fast, you pray, you put your heart right. I'm not saying when you fast, you say, okay, God, kill the other one. No, not that. You know? Because when you start fasting, God is going to reveal things in your own heart that is, I didn't know that was in me. Hallelujah, I need some deliverance here. So when you start fasting, when you start praying, remember that guy, Haman? He's quite wicked. He plot how the king is going to kill Mordecai and then put him and kill him. This is wickedness. Have it happen in your workplace or in your family, how some people are planning wickedness around you? Let me tell you something. I've got good news for you. But put your heart right, though. I'm saying that again. Put your heart right. If we start fasting and we seek the face of God, this wickedness, it goes back to the sender. I don't know why it happened. This is not my doing, okay? This is the way it happened. It goes back to the sender. At the end, if you read Esther, who went to get chopped off? Haman. And chopped off what? The very thing that he has planned. I've seen it happen in my life. Like when I was working, there was one lady, she was quite jealous of me because of the promotion that I'm getting. And quite frankly, I was not qualified for the job. She was more qualified than me. I didn't speak as good as she was. She was better than me. I have to admit that. But you know what? God said, I'm going to promote you. And now, if you are a Christian, if you're not a Christian, or if you're a Christian and your heart is not healed up, what happened? You're like, excuse me? That one is getting the job? It's like, look at her. I mean, come on. God. She's getting the job. First of all, she's not as qualified as me. And second of all, she didn't get the sale that I got before. And you're giving that to her? But you know what? I said, you are my God. And Father, If you want to give it to her, you give it to her. But God, I work for you. You know, my boss is not the person who pay me. My boss is God. So that means if my boss is not in front of me, I'm still working because I don't work because my boss is in front of me. You know how some people, when the boss is here, they're working. So then when he's not here, coffee and typing and checking the email. Do you know what I mean? My boss is God. I work for him. And God, if you want to give me that promotion, you do that. And you know what? God has showed me during that time when I pray and fast. He showed me the thing in my heart that was not right against that girl. I said, God, forgive me. I didn't know there was that wickedness in me. I know there's a little bit, but not that much. Now you're revealing that to me. And please forgive me for that. And you know what? I got the promotion. I believe that many of us, God has promoted us. But because we haven't walked the walk, we're like, oh, but, you know, I'm a Christian. I should get it. No, this is pride. Don't go that way. You humble yourself, God is going to raise you up. And the other person who plot wickedness against me with the people, oh, you know what? I can understand her frustration. I'm not saying that I'm going to do the same, but I can understand why she's upset. It's like, so she plot little things against me. And as I go working, I'm like, God, you are for me and not against me. And you know what? I had to go with the strength of the Lord. Many of us, people are plotting things against you. But you go with the strength of the Lord. As you go with the strength of the Lord, you will see that the heavy burden will be lifted off you. You will see things are going to be very, very good. You will see it will be... God is going to open doors for you that no man will be able to close. But you know what? Sometimes the person who closes our own doors is ourselves. We close our own door. So I want to encourage you to do that. And another verse, it says, "It let the oppressed go free, healing and deliverance." Fasting, I've never seen somebody who has a deliverance ministry don't have a lifestyle of fasting. I haven't met someone like that yet. All the people that I know who has the ministry of deliverance, honestly, they do have a lifestyle of fasting. Like I know some pastors that will go on the mountain, they will go and fast for 40 days because you remember they were Indian people. They used to fast. They know the power of fasting. They know how powerful it could be. When they converted into Christianity, they understand the power of fasting. They'll go and fast. And when they come back, I'm telling you, no demon can stay in the room. As soon as they come in the room, everything starts to manifest. It's like the presence of God is like amazing. They don't even have to do anything. They just walk in. And these things got to creep in. And they have to actually lock all the doors. Because they will run away. And then they say, Holy Spirit, just come. Oh, why does Jesus do that? Because he wants to set the captives free. I will tell you the story of Mahesh. How many know Mahesh? He's a wonderful man of God. Like, actually, there's a lot of good books about fasting. And one of the good books is from him as well. He has a lifestyle of fasting, and he's into deliverance as well. So one day he was fasting, and then he got a phone call from two of the pastors. Mahesh, please come. We're having some trouble here. It's like, what is that? I'm telling you, this demon doesn't want to leave. He's like, why? He's like, it's a homosexual, and then he wants to have a relationship with us. He's like, oh, really? Okay, Mahesh was fasting and was finishing his fast. He said, okay, I'm going to come right away. So as he came and going to the room, the two pastors were in the closet. They were so scared. Can you imagine? So he's like, where's the pastor? He's like, in the closet. Okay. And it's like, okay, so what happened? The guy was like, oh, another man. Can we have fellowship? Mahesh looked at him and say, you know that I'm covered with the blood of the Lamb. And Mahesh prayed from him. And he said, in the name of Jesus, you just ask the Spirit of God to come and say, the blood of Jesus. He couldn't say the blood of Jesus. He said, the blood of Jesus. Prayed for him. Totally set free. That is the power of fasting. Those pastors, didn't they have the power? I believe they do have some power. But sometimes we need to fast. And some of the things that are going to happen in our life, is going to be amazing because God, He will not going to ask us to do something that we cannot do. He will equip us to do the things that we can do. I always tell the ladies who come in the group, I say, you know what? Casting out demons is Christianity 101. We all need to be able to go and lay hand on the sick and see them recover. Why don't we don't see it? Because we don't go and lay hand on the sick because we're afraid that what if we pray for them, they get even worse. We have to start going and believing that it's not about us. So when you start fasting, God is going to reveal things about you. It's like, you know, remember, Alexandra, you are the donkey carrying Jesus. You are not Jesus. You are the donkey carrying him, just in case you forget. As we start fasting, God will reveal those things to you. Because as human being, and you start praying for people, all of them start to be healed. You're thinking, whoa, I'm so anointed. Hallelujah. So don't, you know. It's like God's like, no, I want you to be on your feet and understand that I'm the one who give you the anointing. I'm the one who do that in your life. And don't be overly proud of yourself because I don't like the proud people. I don't like pride. Pride and me, we don't go hand in hand. It just doesn't go. Another thing is break every yoke. Sicknesses. When we find, you know, some of our disease, I believe, doctor is good, but some of our disease, I believe, is just fasting. Many of our sickness will be totally healed. I know a friend, I think some of you know her. She's got a skin problem. She started to have rash all the time. She went to so many doctors and nothing. She's like, what is that? She started praying. God said, I want you to start doing a Daniel fast. She's like, just Daniel fast? After the Daniel fast, completely healed. No medication. Until now, she's completely healed. She never had a rash again before. Some of us, just a cleansing is going to remove a lot of things that is in our body. Healing will flow automatically. Because anyway, you know that our body... doctors will tell you if we fast once a week, it's good for our system anyway. So God has created in such a way. But what we've done is that in North America, we love eating. So we've kind of stuffed it in. And it has become our God. It has replaced many things that shouldn't have been replaced. And you know what? Fasting also will give you direction. If you need direction in your life, how many need direction in their lives? We all need direction in our lives. You know, when I look back in my own life, I realize that some of the times that I've made some decision and that I didn't make the right decision and I wish I fasted and prayed, but instead I tried to fix it because I can fix it. Instead of saying, God, you know what? Let me fast and pray. And do you think I don't know that? I know that. But I didn't do it. When I look back, I realize, God, wow, I should have fasted and prayed. But what did Alexandra do? I'm trying to fix everything. Oh, no, we need to do that. I should have relaxed and say, God, what do you want me to do? A lot of time, I believe that direction when we fast. Because if we look at Jesus, before he chose his disciple, what did he do? He went to pray and fast. And he came back the next day. And then he chose the disciple. Before Barnabas and Paul were sent out in the book of Acts, it's in Acts 13:2. What did they do? They pray, they fast, and they send them. When we fast, we can really see direction in our lives, especially when it comes to things that are very important. Things that are, God, I'm getting married. Is that the right person for me? These are important decisions. God, I want to have a child. Do you think that's what you want for me? These are important decisions. God, I want to sell my house. Is that what you want for me? I wish I did that all the time in my life. But it is sad to say that I haven't. But I pray that in my life, as of today, I will start doing that. And I encourage you. I know it's the same for you. You've done it in the past, but many times you haven't done it. But I encourage you to start doing that. You will see the things that is going to happen in your life. And even before Jesus started his public ministry, he fasted before he started doing that. If Jesus fasted, I mean, hello, maybe it's good for us to do that as well. When we fast, we actually die to flesh. Our flesh is less. Less of me and more of him. Less of me and more of him. How are we going to die to flesh if we cannot die to one meal? Dying to one meal is dying to flesh, especially for those who love to eat. Like, I like eating. When I fast, it's a big thing for me. But I know that I have to do it. Not because I want to twist God's arms. Oh, God, you say if we do that, you go. You know what? God is not going to change. The Bible says, I am the Lord your God. I am the same today, tomorrow, and forever. Who's going to change? Me. So if we think we're fasting to change God, wrong answer. God is not going to change. There's nothing that we'll do will make him love us more. He loves us, period. But as we start fasting, we put ourselves into proper alignment with him. And who is going to change? We will change. Our heart will change. These are the things that is going to happen in our life. And when we start fasting as well, if you go to 1 Kings 19, verse 8, you will see Elijah. He fasted for 40 days, and he started hearing the voice of God again. How many of us, we feel like we are not hearing God's voice again? We feel like, God, where are you? Are you here? Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm here. I'm praying. Are you here, Jesus? Maybe it's time to fast. Maybe it's time to say, you know, Lord God, maybe there are things in my life, because I can promise you, when we start fasting, things in our life will rise up. You will see those things. And God wants to clean that so that he can pour his love on you. Like if you don't have space for love, how can he pour that out? When you're fasting, you're like, God, I'm weak, but you're strong. I'm weak, but you're strong. And he come and he fill us. And we see things start happening. There was one girl, I remember, there are people who put stuff in her life. Everything that she does doesn't seem to come into place. She's like, God, I love you. What is that? What happened is that some people have cursed her. But I wanted to make it very clear now about cursing. Not everybody who come to me and say, you know what, I curse you, and it's going to land on me. The Bible said very clear in the book of Proverbs. He said, if there is no cause, that curse cannot come. Like if somebody say, oh, I curse you because you do this and you do that. It's like, I will be dead by now, so all these people who curse me. I think you will be dead too. And I think many people that you've cursed will be dead too. It's like, no, it doesn't happen like that. But if you've got an open door in your life, you know what? It might happen. I'm going to give you that verse. Where is that verse? I need to look for that verse. I know it's in Proverbs. Actually, it's in Proverbs 24. It's in Proverbs 24. Actually, no. It's in Proverbs 26, verse 2. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. So remember that. So if somebody come to you and say, you know, I curse you, that's so bad. Honey, it's not going to land on me. I'm sorry. You know, one day I was praying. There are things that I did when I was younger. I'm still younger. I'm like, oh, my Lord, thank you that you are with me. I would have been a dead meat by now. You know, like, I've got a lot of friends, and they are, the parents are very much into Hinduism and into Muslim. And, like, I love Jesus. You know, Jesus loves you. What is all about that? Jesus is the only one. And lack of wisdom, right? But anyway, God has seen my heart and has protected me. And then one of the parents got so upset with me. And then one of them, she's a witch. She got really upset with me. And I was like, oh, and I love Jesus. And she came to me and said, if you don't stop talking to my daughter, I'm telling you I'm going to put something in me. I said, nothing can touch me. Whatever you put in me is going to go back on you. You know what? Honestly, it went back on her. But the thing is that There was a boldness, but also a lack of wisdom. But sometimes it's like, it will not land on me. I was so young. I was so pure. My heart was so pure at that time. I was telling the truth. Because there was no cause for that thing to land on me. Can you imagine that witch for so many years that every Mauritian people who are sick go to her and she will pray for them. And now you have that little girl who just come and tell my daughter that this is not a real God. Where am I going to get my money? Do you realize what you're doing, girl? I didn't even think of all that. I just love Jesus. And she need to be saved. All that I know, she need to be saved because she's in my class. And I'm going to witness Jesus to her. But now when I look back, I can see that lack of wisdom. Do you understand what I mean? I was not a seasoned person. But God in his mercy has protected me. I say, hallelujah, Jesus. In his mercy, he has protected me. Because I could have put myself in big trouble. God saw my heart. And I thank God for that. So sometimes when I look at young people, I'm like, please don't make the same mistake that I did. But God knows that. He's looking at us. And you know what? Let me tell you something again. A curse that is put on you, it has no cause. It's not going to happen. So you don't have to be afraid of that. You have to have faith that God is bigger than all that, okay? When we fast, the protection of God is on us. Remember Ezra, when he had to bring the gold and there are lots of thieves around. He fasted and God protected him and he was able to carry all that without not one single person touch me. When you fast, you ask God, God, let your protection be upon me, upon my family. And in conclusion, fasting doesn't have to be forced on you. It is between you and God. It's just like prayer. I can't force you to pray. You have to pray. I mean, you've got to pray. Nobody can force us to pray. This is something that you choose to do. And the time as well, this is between you and God. Not because you fast for 40 days, you are a better Christian. Not because you fast one, but it's what God wants you to do. That's what we do. And the danger of fasting, one of the things I really want to mention to you is that when we fast, we've got to understand that it is a spiritual thing. We are doing spiritual thing. We're going to get a spiritual result. I know a lady who, she really loved the Lord. She meant good. I know a lot of good people who really love God. And they start to fast and they start to fast. And they get into things, into the spirit that they shouldn't get themselves into. And did you know what happened? She said she felt like she was fasting and fasting. And then she felt like, you know what? I don't need to go to church anymore. I don't need to go to cell group because it's me and the Lord, me and the Lord, me and the Lord. That's dangerous. Did you know what she ended up doing? That is a sad story. Her daughter is almost the same age as Amy. She committed suicide. Do you think her intention was good when she started out? I do believe so. A lot of us, we have good intention. But we end up not knowing the word of God. Knowledge without the word of God is bad. If you have knowledge without experience as well, is bad. If you have knowledge, but you don't have the experience, it's like a dead dodo. But if you have experience without the word of God, you are flaky. Because what happened is that you know that the Lord, you know, you have knowledge, you have experience. Oh, when I fast, I can be with that Jesus, I'm the bride or whatever. And that's all good. You don't have the word of God. You end up doing stupid things that you shouldn't be doing. And you get yourself into things that you shouldn't be getting into. So the word of God is very good. That's why I always tell people, it's good to have experience, but you have to know the word of God. Like if she knew the word of God, she will know that Hebrews said, do not forsake the assembly of the believers. She will know that. The enemy wouldn't be able to take her out that far. She will understand about authority. She will understand about being with other Christians. She wouldn't be like that. If you only have experience and you do not have knowledge, that is very, very dangerous. But if you have knowledge, you know the word of God from Genesis to Revelation and everything, but you have no experience, that is so sad. You talk about fasting all the time, but you've never fasted, you've never seen the power of coming. That is sad. We need both. So as we as a church start learning about all of these things, I want you to know that, you know what, this is a gift for us to start embracing. And John is going to come and he's going to share as a church what we're going to do for the, like we've been doing a 1 month fasting. All of us have chosen our own time, but he's going to share what God has been speaking in his heart. Corporate, there is power in corporate fasting. Just like when Esther declared a corporate fast, nation changes. Things start to happen. So he's going to share a little bit about what he felt.
Okay. Just want to go back a little bit on what Alexander talked about. I want to recap a little bit. If you have Isaiah 58, turn to VM. I just want to take a few minutes here just to... I'm going to talk about a little bit about more on the practical side, and we're going to literally start fasting as corporately, as a body of Christ here, as a church, for 3 days. That's what I felt the Holy Spirit was leading me to do, to share with you guys to do that. It's going to be starting on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 3 days. We call it the Esther. I feel the Lord spoke to me and said, this is what the kind of fast we're looking at, the Esther fast. I'm going to go with Esther fast a little bit about what it means. But before we go into Esther fast, I want to talk about some of the prophetic word that I heard. I feel this fasting against jealousy. I felt that word's very big, very strong. The word jealousy is attacking a lot of people's, chewing a lot of people's mind and all this kind of thing. What is jealousy? Where the roots of jealousy come from? If you look at jealousy, it comes from injustice. Right? Think about the stories of the prodigal son. You remember when the oldest brother came home, he said, why is this party going on? And then the servant said, because your brothers came back. And he was jealous because he said, what did he say? Well, the father, you've done nothing for me. You never celebrate. You never kill an animal. You never, you know. So there's a jealousy. But because the jealousy was belief on injustice. Right? So there might be some jealousy against you when God's going to come and bless you. Or there may be some also that... the spirit of jealousy, the way you look at things and you're understanding things your own way. And if you look at Isaiah 58, it says this in verse 6. Is not this kind of fasting I have chosen to loose the chain of injustice? So anything that has to do with injustice has to do with jealousy. If you have somebody who at work, like Alexander was saying, I didn't know she was picking on that, but it's the same thing that the Lord spoke to me to explain to you this morning. If somebody who's at work, who doesn't do his job well, right, and you are the one who's faithful, you're a hard worker, and that person, you know, he has this very way of nice, smooth tongue, and he talked to the boss, and he's tickling the ear of the boss all the time, make the boss happy and all this kind of thing. He's getting all the promotion. And you say, you know what? I'm working so hard here and that person is a lazy lad and he's getting all the bonuses and everything. And what about me? So now jealousy comes and because there's an injustice. So what we're looking at is we need to be able to loose ourselves from that. Because the more you start doing this, it's hard for God to bless you to find favor before God. Because you start judging and start. So this is what I want to talk about. The other thing we want to talk about is in verse 9, in the second part, it says this. Then you will call and the Lord will answer and you will cry for help and he will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression. Now, you might go and say, you know what? You can oppress your co-workers, your neighbors, this kind of thing. Say, and you stop the yoke of oppression, the pointing of the fingers, and malicious talk. And then verse 11 says, and the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a certain scorched land. So God will guide you. He will speak to you and he will satisfy you. And this is the kind of fasting we felt God was saying. He said, if you do that, I will satisfy your needs. I will come and guide you. And then, most of all, fasting this time is not just about your situation and my situation, what's going around in my home, in my house, and my work. It's not about just me being blessed. I really felt this time fasting is going to talk about this nation and the identity that God's called you. If you look at me in verse 12, the second part of verse 12, it says this, and you will be called repairer of broken wall. What does that mean? Thing that used to protect you has been broken down. There's no protection. When there's a broken wall, literally means the enemy can come in and take away and steal and kill and destroy. But that fasting is that you're going to start now repairing this broken wall. Fasting is going to build this wall up again, right? For protection. And then restore of street of dwelling. So basically it's now it's going to be restore the city you're in. And this time, the fasting as well, we want to include to pray for this nation, to pray especially with the election coming, to spend time with that. And it says this, and if you honor by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle word, then you will find joy in the Lord. So this kind of fasting we're looking at is not just like, oh, you know, I'm putting myself like desperate, like crying. No, this is a fasting of joy of the Lord. A joy as you've started to fasting. Now, we're going to do the Esther fast. And if you want to, you can turn to me, but it doesn't matter, to look at the book of Esther. But Esther is... she started to, for 6 months, she started to put oil, perfume, and cosmetic for 6 months before she go before the king. How many know that? Now, guys, help us. We're not putting cosmetic for 6 months, okay? But what it's saying is the fasting so that when she go into the presence of the king, the Bible says that when she entered in the inner room of the king, where the king, the dwelling, you know, where he rules. And then the king said, ask me anything. You find favor before me. And the king said this, even if you ask me for half of the kingdom, I will give it to you. I mean, that's a big favor. So what our fasting is due, is we have spiritual, we're preparing ourselves, we beautify ourselves in the spiritual realm. We're putting perfume of the Holy Spirit, right? We're getting the anointing of God. We're preparing ourselves. And then for these 3 days, Esther was in the presence of the king. So basically, this is what I really felt the Lord say. And then these 3 days will be like tremendous favor. But that favor is not also for Esther, for her own, for her to be queen, but it's for her, for the nation, to restore and to stop the enemy from destroying. Now, the book of Esther, it's the only book in the Bible where there's nothing mentioned about God. You know that? There's nothing mentioned about God or Jesus or you know, anything about... it's nothing mentioned about God. So it's just one lady, she understands the power of preparing herself and then find favor before the king. And how Mordecai, explained to her... So this is the thing that we felt this time. We prepare ourselves. We are pampering ourselves spiritually. So when we go before the Lord, we find favor before him. How do we pamper ourselves? Right? This is when we choose to please God in a way that what he's saying in Isaiah 58. Right? So the 3 days of fasting, the corporate fasting, I believe is going to be, if we all fast for that 3 days, it's going to be a powerful time for us. And we're starting Good Friday, and let me just read it to you guys. You'll find this is very interesting. He says this in the last chapter of chapter 9 of Esther. He says this, and he said in verse 19. It's a fasting for a day, giving presents to each other. It says when you fast, this is something that you do. You give present, you give gift to one another. I think, what are you talking about? We've normally fasting, we say we stay away from food and drink of this kind of thing. But he said, now this kind of fast is a joyful thing. You give gift to each other. And then in verse 22, he said this, and Mordecai wrote to them, observe that they are the day of fasting and joy. So this is a time of, this is Esther fast, we want to do joy in the fasting. Give presents of food to one another and give gift to the poor. Does that make sense? Give gift to one another and give gifts to the poor. So Friday night is a good time to start. We're going to follow his mission as well. And giving gift to the poor. Now, giving gift to the poor, this is interesting because the Bible says if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. How many know that? How many, God want your money? God want to borrow? No. And when God borrows something from you, like he will multiply it back. Make a long story short, we had a friend who, there's a group of people here in Toronto that they went to Peru not too long ago, actually last year, and they started building a church for these people in Peru because they are poor, very poor, right? The children don't have shoes. So they built a church for them, and a year later, this is actually like 2 weeks ago, there's a church in downtown Toronto in the Danforth area, an Estonian church, and this building, they turned around, they went to this group of people, they were just a fellowship. These Estonian people, church came to them, say, guess what? We want to give you this building. In Toronto, what did they do? They give to the poor. Next thing you know, they got a building worth millions of dollars in Toronto, given to them free. Can you imagine? Right? So this is the thing, finding favor before God. Right? So this is, things like this work. God, you know, when we put ourselves in the right place and do the right thing, and when it's not just, it's, God is not literally interesting about you not eating a meal or whatever. This is not what he's looking after. But we're in the right place right now, okay? All right. Let's stand. We're going to pray. Thank you, Father. And also that if you want to not to do a complete fast for the last, for the 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we do also say that, well, you can eat as well, but try to eat things that hang up from the tree. Anything that not from the ground, grow in the ground, not from a live animal, you know, but something that hang from the tree. And this is also the time of Easter that Jesus died on the cross, he's hang on the tree, and everything that hang from the tree. So if you choose to have something to eat or something to, you know, try as to get something that, like an apple, like grapes, pomegranate, this kind of thing. All right? Okay. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before you right now, Father, and Father, we want to also pray that whatever we're hearing from you, God, that you will also speak to each one of us, Father. You will confirm, you will speak, Father, alignment into our life. And Father, we, as a young son, the prodigal story, Father, how when he came back home, he said, the Bible, your words say that he come to his senses. And Father, a lot of us, Father, we pray that as we're fasting, God, a lot of the things that we don't see, we don't understand, we don't recognize, Father, what's going around, Father, that we may come to our senses. And we may say, not look our own ways, and this is the fasting, that we will not choose our own ways, but we'll choose the ways that our senses will align with the kingdom of heaven. And the prodigal son will say, I have first sinned against heaven. Not against you, Dad, but I sinned against, first against heaven, which is a principle of God in my life. And Father, I pray, Father, for every ungodly jealousy, for every ungodly injustice that is around us, that we look at, we say, Father, there's injustice in this life. There's injustice for me in some places in my life. And Father, I pray that, Father, we learn, Father, to break this yoke of injustice, and we know how far this, how we're going to go into your presence, because your throne is, you rule with justice. You're God of justice, and your justice will reign and rule over our lives, God. But how do we find favor before you? How do we can pump ourselves, prepare ourselves, that when we stand before you, Father, the beauty that you see in us, the beauty of holiness, and it's also, Father, I want to pray that, Father, there's a purity that come out of fasting. And Father, I pray that help us, Father, to understand that the word that you give us, a lot of them are prophetic signs, but they're also, Father, word that we also can go and do it and work on it and apply for it. And how do we fast with joy? How do we fast in peace, in righteousness, in love? How do we give gifts? And what do the gifts represent, Father? The gift of forgiveness, the gift of love to others, the gift of repentance, Father, the gift of to make peace. There's gifts not just of giving present, but gift of our own character towards one another. And I give you praise. I pray for each one, Father God, as we enter in this time of fasting in our lives, as we pray as a corporate prayer, and as we always going to pray for each other. And this is a gift to pray for one another. And as we pray, Father, as a corporate church, Father, that we may find favor in your presence. That we may find, Father, that you, when we call upon you, you will answer us. And you will tell us, ask me anything, I will give it to you. And Father, our prayer is not just for us, but it's for this land. Our prayer is for this nation. Our prayer is for Canada, the destiny of this nation, Father, to be fulfilled. I give you thanks and I give you praise, Father, for this morning. I give you thanks for your word. I give you thanks for your anointing in this place. I give you thanks for every single one who's here, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray, God. Amen.